water, earth, fire, air. Whatever element you add, this turd still stinks. Long ago, the fandom watched Avatar, The Last Airbender in harmony. Then, everything changed when M. Night Shyamalan attacked. Only the nerds, masters of amateur opinions, could fix it. But when the movie was made, they were in middle school. 10 years passed, and my friends and I discovered a new Avatar The Last Airbender adaptation in the works. And although the new show could be great, they have a lot to learn from the 2010 film before they're ready to please the fans. But I believe, if they listen to the nerds, they can save the fandom. Hello, everyone. What? Were you trying to do the intro, Mason?
Well, I don't know. There was just a couple seconds of silence on for me, so.
Oh, okay. Well, hi. This is the start of our podcast. Episode 3 of Nerds Polish Turds. Yeah.
Nerds Polish Turds!
Yeah, so my name is Avery Polinori. I'm one of your hosts, and today I'm joined by my two other hosts, who are...
Uh-oh.
I think, Mason, you can introduce yourself first, since you said I said your name already.
What up? Okay. Oh, you kind of cut out for me, so... But anyway, what's up? It's me, Mason, back again. With another terrible movie that we're going to talk about.
Thank you, Mason.
And I'm Tanner, also in the gang for this.
That's right. Tanner's here also. Tanner's got some crap to say about this crappy movie.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to keep it nice and simple. We are covering The Last Airbender, which is the 2011... live-action cinematic adaptation of the movie, or of the TV series, the animated TV series, Avatar, The Last Airbender. And I feel like there is not a better time to be covering this movie, since Avatar is huge in the zeitgeist, and Mason and I have been rewatching the series, and he just finished season one recently, and I'm like halfway through season two now, so... Get on my level, Mason.
I've got a lot of stuff I'm watching, bro.
And then, Tanner, you've already finished the whole series before, right?
Yeah, I pretty much finished it as soon as it came out on Netflix.
Yeah. Did you watch it as a kid, Tanner?
Not really. Like, episode here or there.
Yeah.
About it.
What made you want to get into it?
A couple of my friends in college, they did, like, a couple watch-throughs. I just never had the time. But I'd watch a couple episodes with them here and there.
Yeah.
Again, and it's just like, I want to see the whole thing. And then Netflix provided the opportunity.
Way to go, Netflix.
I'm an in-clutch.
Mason, did you ever watch this? All right, we talked about this before, but I can't remember exactly. But did you ever watch this when you were a kid, too?
No, I had always seen, like, you know, the previews, and I was like, oh, that looks so cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't have, like, Nickelodeons as a kid.
Gotcha.
So, like, when I'd go to, like, family members that had it, I'd always see the commercial, and I'd be like, man, I wish I could watch that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had Nickelodeon. And I did watch it here and there as a kid, but I never got, like, fully into it. I was always more, like, into superheroes and whatever Disney had on TV. But
Sweet
like,
Life of Zack and Cody, baby.
What's that?
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I was thinking more like American Dragon Jake Long and Lilo
and
Stitch.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that.
But yeah, those were fun series, but we're not here to talk about those, and we're not here to talk just about
our new favorite animated series, Avatar: The Last Airbender, we are here to talk about the crappy cinematic adaptation, The Last Airbender, minus the Avatar, or Avatar, as they say in the film.
Don't get me started on that yet. That was so triggering for me.
All right.
Lawson, what do I do?
I cringed every time, like, they said, like, Yong, or, like, Avatar.
Yeah. Ugh. We can get into why that happened, but, anyway. You guys ready for the recrap?
Yeah.
I guess so. Mentally, this movie just drained me after watching, like, just getting off of watching, like, the season, which was really good, and then coming to this.
It's such
mentally drained me.
Such a letdown. I had to make myself some coffee before this because we just watched the movie before recording this. So I was very tired just from trying to make it
through. Trying to stay awake from just the boredom.
Yeah.
I was falling asleep, I'll be honest.
Yeah. All right, Taylor.
Yeah.
I hope you dreamt up some good pitches. Anyway, so here is the recrap from the pages of Wikipedia. A century has passed since the Fire Nation declared war on the other three nations of air, water, and earth in their attempt to conquer the world. Feel free to interrupt me, interject anything at any time, gentlemen. Sokka, or Sokka, we're not really sure, and his sister Katara, who belonged to the Southern Water Tribe, discover an unusual iceberg. It's not the one with the Titanic. But when they break into the iceberg, they release a beam of light, and it reveals a 12-year-old boy named... this is how the movie pronounces it, okay? Don't rant at us for messing up his name, because this is how the movie pronounces it. A 12-year-old boy named Aang and his flying pet bison named Appa. Zuko, the disgraced prince of the Fire Nation, detects the light from Aang's release and arrives at the Southern Water Tribe to demand that the villagers hand over the Avatar, the only person capable of manipulating or quote-unquote bending all four elements of air, water, earth, and fire. Aang surrenders himself to save the village but escapes the Fire Nation ship and flies to Appa, brought by Katara and... this is how the movie says it. Sokka, okay? Don't get mad. The trio travel to the Southern Air Temple, where Aang learns he was in the iceberg for a century and that the Fire Nation wiped out the air nomads, including his guardian, Monk Gyatso, who we do not get to see the whole relationship developed, but that we'll get into that. In despair, Aang enters the Avatar state and finds himself in the spirit world where he encounters a dragon spirit. Katara's pleas bring Aang out of the Avatar state. Aang's group of companions arrive at the Earth Nation Kingdom, or Earth Kingdom Village, controlled by the Fire Nation. When they are arrested and imprisoned, they incite a rebellion, battling and defeating the Fire Nation soldiers occupying the village. Because there's a bunch of dirt and earth underneath them, so it's about time. Aang tells Katara and Sokka that he only knows airbending and has yet to master the other three elements. They make their way to the Northern Water Tribe, where Aang can learn from waterbending masters. During a side trip to the Northern Air Temple, Aang is betrayed by a peasant and captured by Fire Nation archers led by Commander Zhao. They did get his name right, at least. However, a masked marauder called the Blue...
Yeah, Zuko right, too.
That's true. The Fire Nation got some good pronunciations there. The Blue Spirit helps Aang escape. Zhao realizes that Zuko is the Blue Spirit and has a crossbowman fire a bolt that knocks Zuko out. But Aang uses his skills to escape with the unconscious Zuko. Aang watches over Zuko until morning, then leaves to reunite with Sokka and Katara. Not Ahsoka. This isn't Star Wars The Clone Wars, unfortunately. Zhao tries again to kill Zuko by blowing up his ship, but Zuko secretly survives and sneaks aboard Zhao's ship. Gosh, this is hard to read. Upon arriving, Aang and company are welcomed by the citizens of the Northern Water Tribe and waterbending master. I'm probably going to mess this up for both the cartoon and the movie. Paku teaches Aang and Katara. The Fire Nation arrives. Did you just sneeze the word Paku?
No.
Oh. I thought you were making fun of his name there.
No, I was giving emphasis. Anyway,
okay.
Back to the terrible movie.
The Fire Nation arrives and Zhao begins his attack while Zuko continues his independent search for the Avatar. After defeating Katara in battle, Zuko captures Aang, who re-enters the Avatar state to search for the Dragon Spirit for the help that he needs to defeat the Fire Nation. The Dragon Spirit advises him to let his emotions flow like water, whatever that means. Returning to his body, Aang battles Zuko until Katara freezes Zuko in ice, then leaves. The non-frozen people leave to join the battle. Iroh, not Iroh, that's how the movie said it. Iroh, who is Zuko's uncle, not sure if that was made clear already, who I would say is a pretty woke uncle as far as Fire Nation philosophies go. Iroh and Zhao make their way to a sacred cave where Zhao captures the moon spirit. Despite Iroh's pleas, Zhao kills the moon spirit to strip all the waterbenders of their abilities. Enraged by Zhao's sacrilege, Iroh reveals his mastery of firebending, frightening Zhao and his entourage out of the sacred cave. Princess Yue gives her... Was she even mentioned up here before? Princess Yue is the princess of the Northern Waters Tribe, and we're told, not shown, but told that she and Sokka are in love. Anyway, gives her life to revive the moon spirit. Zhao finds out Zuko survived, and they prepare to fight. But Iroh talks Zuko out of it, and Zhao is drowned by waterbenders. Recalling his life before being trapped in the ice, Aang enters the Avatar state and raises the ocean into a gigantic wall to drive the Fire Nation back. He built a wall. The Fire Lord learns of the defeat and tasks his youngest daughter, Azula, with preventing the Avatar from mastering Earth and Fire. And we never get to see how that plays out because people watched this movie and they did not like it.
They were all
like,
right. Wow, this movie sucks. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I think I fell
asleep again. Yeah, that? Even just listening to a recap was so soul-sucking.
Literally, the movie itself is just like a recap of some fun moments and important episodes in the first season. But yeah, so
that's... not in a fun way.
That not in a fun way. So that's the recap. That took a lot out of me. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Okay, welcome back, everybody. So you just heard the nerd log, I was reading something else. You just heard the recap of the Last Airbender movie. So now we are going to get into the Crap Yap, where we talk about our problems with the film. All right. And boy, do we have some stuff to say. So, who would like to go first?
I would.
All right, Tanner. Take it away.
I don't know a lot. Take it wasn't so bad, but, my biggest problem with it is definitely... just condensing that many episodes into one movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, they tried to stretch The Hobbit out over three movies, and that didn't work. So I don't know who thought that, like, stretching or condensing 20 episodes into one movie was going to work.
Yeah, it's like...
M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah. That's who.
And just... like that, and I probably think the firebenders, like, they need fire to bend. I'm pretty sure that was not the case in the show.
Yeah, that was a weird change.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was just, like, an unnecessary change.
I
I guess like they wanted to highlight maybe like Iroh being more powerful than them all, but that's kind of a dumb thing to do, just to highlight him in like a 30-second moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. There's a lot of ways you could have shown that.
And the whole thing that makes Iroh stand out in the show is like his character and the way that he like looks at the world and treats people, and not really how he not how powerful he is, but you know, like his philosophies and how he lives out his life and everything. It's not about his like power.
Yeah.
Which the movie completely, it touches on that whole aspect of his character where he has like this reverence for the spirits, but it feels like they just didn't know how to tell the same story, or specifically M. Night didn't know how to tell the same story.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched a lot of his other films before?
I don't think I've seen any other film of his.
Okay. I think I've seen like one or two.
Yeah. I will say that about every other movie that I've seen that he's done has been like slow like this, and the acting is kind of like
bad.
I mean, sometimes it's like it works for the story that he's telling, but usually it's very like monotone and under dramatic and everything. It's, I don't know. It's almost like he's trying to like lull you into a dreamlike state with the movies that he makes.
Well, he succeeded.
Yeah. And it's not to like crap on his like filmmaking career, because he's got some ones that I really enjoy, like Split and The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Those are, and Unbreakable wasn't as bad as some of his other ones. But yeah, it's like he's got a very specific style, and that style, I don't see why someone would have thought it would work to adapt this series. Because anyway, I'm skipping ahead, but Mason, do you have any what crap do you want to yap about?
Okay. So Tanner covered the biggest like elephant in the room about trying to fit 20 episodes into an hour, and it was like 50 movie. It's not gonna happen. Yeah. I get that some episodes in the series are kind of just filler ones to kind of get you to know the characters to some degree, but there are still some interesting ones in the series that like were totally breezed over. But one of my biggest things is the whole like, okay, so we probably should have put this tag in here way before, but a little bit of spoilers too for the series.
Yeah. That's pretty obvious, but in case you didn't figure it out by now.
Yeah. But anyway, like when they helped the imprisoned like earthbenders in the show, that was a whole episode. It was really well done. And in the movie, it's just like, hey guys, why are you being like basically like down? What are you doing? Come on, let's fight them. And then they basically just fight them, and it was like a 3-second like fight, and then the Fire Nation's like, oh my goodness, we gotta retreat. I don't feel like the movie showed how kind of awful the Fire Nation really was.
Yeah, there's almost no struggle for the characters like there is in the show. Like,
yeah, they just like bounce to like basically like they try and fit like as much of like the stuff that happened in the show in the movie,
right?
Without the struggle part of it, because you can't highlight that because you have to move on to the next part.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, like,
I just think they painted the Fire Nation as not that intimidating in the movie.
No. And any sign of resistance, they're just like, oh,
that's Yeah, they're like, oh my goodness, they can actually fight back a little bit. We better retreat.
Right. Yeah.
Tanner, yeah, that's that, and the pronunciation, that just threw me for a loop every time. It honestly took me out of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it was two main characters, and technically what they called Aang to Aang, not Ong, was even pronounced wrong.
Right. Yeah. I think, so I'm going to look this up to make sure I'm not, like, talking out of my butt right now, but I'm pretty sure the reason that M. Night decided to pronounce their names like that is because he was trying to get the names closer to, like, an Eastern pronunciation of those names, which on some level I get, but then, like, at the same time, he still casts, like, the three leads as, like, white actors, and I feel like they're Aang in the show, like, he looks like he could be maybe white, possibly, but he's kind of got, like, anime eyes, so it's not like he's gonna be drawn like a cartoonized Asian person or whatever. But then, like, Katara and Sokka both have much darker skin than they do in this movie. And I say most of the characters in this show are supposed to be coded as some type of, like, Asian or indigenous culture of some kind. Not really, like, white. And if he was going to, like, change the names to be more accurate to, like, the culture that they're basing this world on, then he might as well be accurate with, like, the ethnicities too, you know?
Yeah.
And I would argue that's, like, more important than, like, getting their names correct, because, like, the whole movie's spoken in English anyway, so.
Yeah.
You might as well keep it familiar to what the fans of the series know and everything. But yeah. So when you guys,
I was just also, like, in the show, Zuko is an interesting and fascinating character to watch, and again, in the movie, he's not. And another point of contention too is when he rescued him from the Fire Nation, that episode, you know, like, really kind of delved deeper into, like, his character and just made him like more complex than just, you know, your normal bad guy, like what the show or what the movie kind of painted him as in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they were going to try and do that in the second one, but they laid the groundwork for it in the first season in the show.
I mean, I will say he's still kind of, like, on that journey in the second season. Like, he's not, spoiler alert, at least as far as I've gotten so far, he's not, like, fully committed to Team Avatar, or giving up his quest or anything, but, he does seem to be, like, quickly put on that path in the movie. I would disagree, though. I would, when you say he's not interesting, I would say he's the most interesting, like, his story is the most interesting in this film, but that's just because, like, all the other characters I have, like, no interest in.
Yeah. Even Aang in this, it's just, I guess, yeah, but, I mean, I guess in the movie, yeah, he's still the most interesting, but
it's not that great.
if you take it from, like, the source that they were creating it off of, they totally watered him down and made him a shell of what he was in the show.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from ScreenRant.com. According to an interview, Shyamalan, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, because if not, that'd be pretty ironic right now. According to an interview, Shyamalan made these decisions consciously because he wanted to honor the Asian pronunciation. And yeah, so I was correct there, but he did not honor their skin color or ethnicities or whatever. So, and then like he did make the Fire Nation all Asian, but like, and the Earthbenders, but the Earthbenders were all like side, just background characters, and then the Fire Nation were all villains.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, maybe that wasn't necessarily M. Night's decision. Maybe that was some studio interference behind that, like thinking like, oh, we can't have Asian leads in this movie because no one's going to want to see it. But like, I've never seen any of these white kids in any movies before and since. Yeah. So like, why not make it accurate? But whatever. That might be the casting director's fault and not necessarily M. Night Shyamalan's.
It was... Somebody dropped the ball on it, though.
Lots of people that sign checks dropped lots of balls.
Amen to that one.
I did not mean for it to sound that way, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I guess, so here are my, also building off of what you guys said, but here are kind of my main issues with this film. Right at the beginning, we get like a hint of like that cartoony lightheartedness, that levity that pops up throughout the show. Because it's a pretty serious storyline, but then we still have stuff to like make kids like laugh and like have fun and everything. And it's not just like stupid things like fart jokes or whatever, but like legitimately just like the kids having fun and like messing around with each other and splashing water on Sokka and basically lots of slapstick humor. We get a hint of that when Katara is moving the water right at the beginning and then she splashes Sokka and Sokka's all like, ah, you got that wrong. And then I'm like, okay, maybe the movie might retain some of that from the show then. And then in the series, when Aang wakes up from the ice, he like is kind of unconscious or gaining his consciousness again. Katara leans in and she's like, what is it? And then he like gets all wide-eyed and he says, will you go penguin sledding with me? And she's like, oh, sure. And like catches her off guard. And then like immediately this kid has woken up and he's like, all right, let's have some fun. And in the movie, he's just like, she's like, oh, he's worn out. You need to take him to the village. So they like completely slide over the one of the biggest things that I think fans love about Aang, and the fact that he like, while he has a serious task ahead of him, he loves to have fun and he wants to like make friends with everyone he comes across. And that's kind of his conflict, is that he has this huge weight of the world responsibility, but he just kind of wants to be a normal kid. And like in the film, he's all grim and serious all the time, kind of how the Avatar is supposed to be. And we don't really see that conflict. And I think that's like my biggest problem with the film, is that besides like all the fact that it just tried to mash all these stories together, it just did not in any way capture that fun aspect of the show. And you know, it's a kid's show. It's not like The Dark Knight where it's like grim and like melodramatic all the time. It's something where like we see animals playing around and like messing with people, and like Aang, even when he like fights Fire Nation soldiers, at least early on, he's like laughing and stuff while he does it, because he loves airbending. He loves like just getting to feel the freedom of his power and everything. And it's not until like he kind of loses control of the Avatar state that he starts to get like, oh no, what's becoming of me? So that's something I think the movie really missed the mark on, and I think that's largely due to it being M. Night Shyamalan's version of this story and not like a faithful adaptation. But yeah. Do you guys have anything else you wanted to touch on in terms of the film's problems?
Let's see. Well, this is just something minor, but dude, Appa looked kind of like nightmare fuel-ish.
Yeah.
he looks like so like lovable and fun, and like you could walk up and cuddle him in the show, and he's like nightmare fuel a little bit. Like when you see his eyes, I should say, more his face. Like right. When he just looks like, you know, like the little furball in the movie, like he looks fine, but whenever I saw his face, I was like, yee, how about no?
How about no? Yep,
no. How about no?
I mean, yeah, I agree with that. Like, and like the fact that Appa and Momo were like major characters in the show, and it was kind of there.
Yeah.
I mean, Momo wasn't even really there, but
Momo was just like, hey, he's in the TV show, so we got to throw him in the movie too.
Right. Just yeah. Because
let's be real. I mean, Momo does do stuff in the show, but Appa is still like the one that can, you know, is kind of a threat in the end, like a something to be like worried about.
Yeah.
So far, Momo hasn't. Maybe in where you're at, or maybe later on.
I mean, Momo's, he does, but Momo's still like reserved for like those slapstick comedy moments. Yeah. But like, yeah, if they had that more in the film, then he would have like more of a purpose of being there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like M. Night kind of just like was binging this on whatever he at the time, I don't know if it was on Netflix or some other streaming platform, but I feel like he went and he rented like all the DVDs and he just sat down and was like watching it one night, and then he like fell asleep for a bunch of episodes and then was awake for the episodes that he adapted into the series, and he's like, well, those were kind of cool, what if we just put them together in the movies?
Yeah.
Also, I'm always a sucker for like TV shows or like series or video games where like you have like these like cool looking like worlds and all kinds of like stuff, and like just the world building aspect, like they've shown off some at least even just like cool looking locations in the show, and then the movie, it just kind of, I don't know, I feel like they didn't
forest and ice.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't go all out, or even a little bit out, and try and like recreate some of like those cool like moments in the show, like the set pieces. Like they could have made some really cool ones, and they just kind of didn't. Up until you got to the Water Tribe, because I think they did a pretty decent job in the Water Tribe,
the Northern Water Tribe.
Yeah,
yeah.
When they got there, they did enough justice in the movie for like what the show showed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, before that, they did not, I don't think.
I feel like their special effects budget for like the settings and like the animals that they had just weren't spent very well. It seemed like kind of like it was on a TV budget. And this was just in 2011, which I know was almost 10 years ago now, but the next year
we had Avatar come out the same year for Jim Cameron.
Exactly, the movie Avatar, unrelated to this franchise, came out, which was like groundbreaking special effects. And then we had
Avatar, at least.
Even like Avengers, Marvel's Avengers came out the next year, and like that didn't have the greatest special effects, but it still was worlds above this movie. Like, anytime they moved the water, or anytime you saw Appa's face, or whatever, it just didn't look good. Yeah. Lots of issues. Alright, so, let's take another break, and then we can get into the rest of the podcast. Alright, welcome back to Nerds Polish Turds. We just finished the crap yap. Tanner actually did have something that we should have talked about with the myriad of problems with this movie. But Tanner, do you want to talk about what that was?
Yeah, my problem was with the bending. It's just like too slow, especially in that fight with the Earth Kingdom. It's just like really slow, but like bending in the cartoon was always really fast and sudden.
Yeah, and like you can really feel like the heightened like stakes of the battles, and you had like those fast drum beats and everything, and this was always just like, if you can't, since this is an audio recording, you can't see I'm moving my arms very slowly before something happens.
With an angelic upbeat tone.
Yeah. And then in the series it was always like something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I don't have my box drum with me, otherwise I'd serenade you all to that while Mason and Tanner had some type of bending fight.
Yes, we need to do that.
Anyway, I totally agree, Tanner. I thought the fight or the bending was way too slow. They had like 20 movements before they accomplished any sort of bending, and everyone just kind of watched them do it, even if they were in the middle of a fight. But yeah, so how would you guys, what elements would you bend to fight each other?
Earth
and air. Are you prepared to shave your head, Tanner, and get your tattoos on there? All right.
Not any tattoos, but I'll do it for the air. I have to.
Tanner, this Halloween, I wanted to see you go as Aang.
You know what? I will totally shave my head and get a temporary tattoo.
Oh my god.
That'd be awesome.
Listeners, if you donate money to us, every dollar you donate, we will shave an inch off of Tanner's head. Just kidding.
How about a dollar for each hair on my head?
Yeah, let's do that. Tanner has a nice full head of hair, so if you want him to be the avatar, you gotta give us lots of money. All right. All joking aside. No joking aside. Anyway, now is the part of the show that I like to call the Pitch Fest.
We're getting pitchy up in here.
We're getting pitchy. Pitchy with the P. This is a clean podcast. We make poop jokes, but you can still listen to it with your kids, at least with the movies that we've watched so far. hopefully we can keep it that way. So anyway, we're in the Pitch Fest, and we are going to give our ideas on how we can make the last Airbender movie better. So, Tanner, do you want to go first?
All right, I say don't make it at all. Okay, just kind of kidding. Like, it's pretty bad. But in all seriousness, I think probably what you need to do is you need to split it up even more than like a planned three movies.
Yeah.
And actually, like, maybe do, like, the first half of book one in the first movie. Although I'm still kind of concerned about that with, like, how much happens in, like, 10 episodes.
Yeah. That's true.
Or even if it would be enough, I don't know. It kind of depends on what all you can adapt and what happens in those episodes.
Tanner, you have so much reverence for the series that you don't even think it should be touched.
Good.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I only saw it this year, so it says a lot about how good it is.
Yeah. That's true. We were just, before we got back from the break, we were talking about briefly the Netflix adaptation of this series, and Tanner brought up some concerns with the development of that. Which kind of goes into what he's been saying here. But yeah. And even more concerning for that, the original Avatar creators that were involved with the Netflix live action adaptation have been announced that they have left the project. So we'll see if that ends up being better or worse for the show in the long run.
I'm reading their statement right now.
Yeah.
It worries me.
What?
You want to read it to you guys?
Yeah,
I'll
read it
to you guys.
Hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is from DiMartino.
Okay.
So he said, when Brian and I signed on to this project in 2018, we were hired as executive producers and showrunners. In a joint announcement for the series, Netflix said that it was committed to honoring our vision for this retelling and to supporting us on creating the series. And we expressed how excited we were for that opportunity to be at the helm. Mm. Unfortunately, these things did not go as we had hoped, and who knows? Netflix's live-action adaptation has the potential to be good. Might turn out to be a show many of you end up enjoying, but what I can be certain about is that whatever version ends up on screen, it will not be what Brian and I had envisioned or intended to make.
Oh, dang.
So it sounds like Netflix is
going in their own direction a little bit.
Yep, so I'm sad.
Sometimes that can be a good thing if they don't stick too closely to source material. Because, like,
yeah.
The Lion King was like a beat for beat adaptation of the movie for the most part, and I did not really enjoy it because I just felt like I was watching a super snazzy version of the original version. So
yeah.
Maybe that'll be the better decision in the long run, but at least they're not trying to smash together one movie like this one was. Mason, do you want to go next,
like,
or do you want me to go first?
Like, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
It's a double-edged sword, you said?
Yeah, like when you're like adapting movies or shows or anything, because if you follow it too closely, some people, you know, will be like, oh, you just redid it. But if you change it too much, they're like, what the heck? What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's you're just making up a new story now.
Right.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You have to find like the perfect balance.
True. Yeah. Mason, do you want to share your idea yet, or do you want me to go first?
All right. This is the greatest idea ever.
Oh, damn.
I'm basically on the same plane with Tanner right now. Coming from, literally, it was just yesterday, I finished the first season. And then today I watched this movie. It just does not do it justice at all. Mm-hmm. There's either a couple of things that they could have done here to make it. It's not even like I don't even really have a different pitch. Yeah. I just would say these are more suggestions as to like how they could have maybe even made it a little bit better. The movie was like an hour 40, hour 50. I think you could bump that up maybe 20, 30 more minutes.
Yeah.
And focus on a couple of the more important things. Number one, just the character dynamics. Like, Aang was bad, honestly. He was a character that you don't really get invested in.
Yeah.
Neither of the other two, I don't even know how the movie pronounces their names.
They get Katara right. Katara is correct, but then they say Sokka instead of Sokka, which is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, they barely even touch the... She's a waterbender. She kind of just, like shows it off, like, every once in a blue moon, honestly, kind of.
Yeah.
Like the most that we ever see is when she's fighting Zuko in the end, and we're like, oh, wow, she can do this much, because it doesn't even go into detail that she was also being trained by the Water Tribe Master.
Which was a great arc.
Yes,
yeah.
Which was. Like, they should focus more on that, especially the Earthbenders who were imprisoned. They should focus on that more. They should just build upon relationships within the movie, because it just kind of felt like all the characters in the movie had like their one sole purpose, and the other ones were just off doing their other thing, and they didn't really care about, you know, like what anyone else was doing. They were just on their one sole mission.
Yeah.
So I feel like if we had some more character development, it would have made it at least a little bit better in some regards. And again, I think if they took like an extra like half an hour to even like make it a longer movie to develop a couple of storylines.
Yeah.
Or plot points even, because some of the plot points were kind of even rushed. Like, they just wanted to basically get to the end of the movie without filling in the needed information for us. And I think if they would have just given us more of the information, that's how you make it better. Because, again, I can't really give any other help to this movie. Because yeah. I feel like we already had the good version of something in the TV series, right. So.
Yeah, it's almost like this movie is like a sizzle reel promoting what the series could be. And if it was like animated, the producers would have been like, oh, that needs some work, but yeah, let's make it into a series and stretch out all these ideas. But yeah, and I would, just to add on to what you were saying, Mason, like when you said we need all that information to build towards the finale that they're building towards, I totally agree, and I think that they should follow the rule of storytelling, which is show, don't tell, so we don't have Katara just like narrating everything that's happening, and we actually see it like in motion. But yeah, there's not really any easy way to adapt this series into like a movie or even a trilogy of movie or whatever they were planning. So I actually really, if I were to go back in time and like pitch to Paramount my version of the Last Airbender movie, I would just keep it in the world of Avatar, but not even have it like be an adaptation, have it be like in that canon. I would go for like a prequel, and it would take place right around the time that Aang disappears from the Air Nomads. And the Fire Nation is honing in, and our main characters are like air nomads that flee the siege of the Fire Nation and everything. And we see that conflict starting and all that. And I would have it built towards this really fun series theory on a character in Avatar who we meet in season two, Ty Lee. Who, spoiler alert, she's a member of the Fire Nation, but she shows a lot of characteristics and abilities that might be similar to an airbender's, and her agility and her ability to kind of like be in touch with her chi in different ways. So I think that that theory holds a lot of credibility that she could be descended from air nomads. And then we could have a family of air nomads or a group of air nomads fleeing the siege by the Fire Nation and then having to go and find a way to start a new life undercover and everything. And I think that would be a really interesting spin on it and kind of a way to draw new people into the series without crapping on everything that came before it, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
So Mason, Aang Lee, you'll meet her in season two.
Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah. Just started season two. Well, actually, I haven't even started, but it will be the start whenever I decide to watch it. Maybe on my road trip.
Yeah. I think we should maybe end this podcast on, or at least our talk about the Last Airbender world. And franchise on more of a positive note. So I think we should all talk about our favorite moments in Avatar: The Last Airbender, the series. At least what we've seen so far.
Okay. So, all of season one, then?
I mean, yeah, I guess, hey, yeah.
I had to spoil it for Mason.
Yeah, do you have a favorite moment from season one you can talk about, Tanner? I know it's been a while since you've, like...
Yeah.
We might just do spoilers, Mason, so if you're prepared...
I mean, like, yeah, I don't really... It's not going to be the end of the world for me if I get spoiled on this.
I mean, it might spoil something for me, too, so it's okay.
And I go first, then, at least, so maybe the spoiler won't just blow my mind.
Sure, yeah. So, spoilers for season one coming from Mason.
All right, so... Honestly, probably mine was, I've talked about this a lot, because this was, like, my favorite episode by far in the show so far, was the one where we saw the Earthbenders in, like, imprisoned, and we literally just saw their absolute, like, broken spirits that they didn't want to fight at all, even when they were given the chance originally. That, like, the Fire Nation had just outright won. Physically and mentally. And I thought it was, like, kind of cool that, like, they showed literally how, like, dominant the Fire Nation has been for this last, like, 100 years.
Yeah. That was a good moment. I think that's, like, one of the most defining moments for Katara too, is like her just showing that she's like a capable, she's just, you know, this child, this teenage girl that no one like would think twice about in terms of like her skills. And then she's just like, hey, if I can rise up, so can you guys. And then like, then she gets them all to rally together and everything. So that was really cool. But yeah,
I mean, and obviously the last two episodes, but that's a given.
Yeah. Very cool moments. Tanner, do you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I want to keep it kind of vague for Mason, but I think in season three, when they kind of like, I'll say they'll infiltrate the Fire Nation. Ain't that gonna have a urban fire? But just kind of like how like Aang kind of like looks at it. The Fire Nation culturally, like, it's completely different from what he remembers because of the takeover. But, like, how he brings back, like, fun and even, like, caring about others to the Fire Nation in those moments that he's there.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm looking forward to getting to that point because that's, like, I think there's a scene from that Netflix kind of plays, like, before you click on the actual show.
Where he's, like, dodging the...
Yeah, he's like...
Yeah, that's a great scene.
Yeah, and he just wants to, like, show the girl how to dance and whatever. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I like that. I like that little snippet from what I've seen. I think it'll be a fun episode arc to get to. I have a moment from season two, so spoiler alert, Mason. But I really like... I mean, it was heartbreaking in a lot of ways, but the episode where they're in the desert right after they've escaped the library and Appa gets taken, and they're kind of like, their one way out of there is kind of lost now. I think that episode is really good. It shows like all the characters at their lowest points. And then once again, it's like a defining moment for Katara, like where she has to kind of rally the group together. And the team is Team Avatar, but really Katara is like the heart and the drive behind like everything that they do in the end. And I think it's really cool how they show that and how there's like, there's no Avatar without the people behind him and everything. So that was a really cool moment. Very sad, but it really builds to that point with how they built the connections with the characters and made you feel like you care about them. You care about Appa and you care about how they treat each other and everything. And when all that's taken away, then it's like, oh, what do we have now? And yeah. So yeah, definitely would not recommend watching The Last Airbender unless you want to have like a watch party with your friends and make fun of it. But it's still slow, even as a movie that you can make fun of. So I think I speak for all of us when I say watch Avatar The Last Airbender. And if you've already watched that, I have not watched this, but when The Legend of Korra, the sequel to The Last Airbender, comes out on Netflix, I've heard that series is great, so give that a watch also. And remember to love people and
spay and neuter your pets.
And take care of your pets. And family doesn't just have to look like the people that you're related to. And always remember to have fun even when you're trying to save the world. Those are the lessons from Avatar The Last Airbender that the movie seems to miss out on. But do you guys have like anything else that you're like into, like movie or video game or reading wise that you want to kind of recommend to the listeners here?
I got something.
All right,
I got two things. Game Destiny 2, baby. It's the greatest game ever. Shout out Destiny 2, Bungie knows what's up. The second one TV show wise, some people might think, you know, have a bad taste in their mouth because it kind of gives off Twilight-esque vibes at times, but it's so much better.
Oh, jeez.
The Vampire Diaries is actually pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. I am not ashamed to admit it.
Let your freak flag fly, Mason.
That show is good. I'll say it again. It's great, and you would like it. Oh, also, but there is another one, too. I watch a lot of shows. Holy crap.
I mean, that's life these days.
The 100? That is a great show. Highly recommend.
All right.
Alright, well, for me, Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
I just watched season 2 of that. It's really good. So good. And as of the day we are recording this, tonight is the series finale of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I have not watched any of those.
There'll probably be some tears tonight.
For me,
this season's so good. I love it.
Is this season 6 or season 7? That we're in right now.
Like season
7.
Oh, it's so
yeah.
Is this the last episode
airing tonight? Yeah.
Oh man.
Of all, like the series finale though.
Yes.
It's
over.
That's sad.
That show's had a lot of.
Clark Craig has been playing Phil Coulson since 2008, and he's done.
He's just like Robert Downey Jr.
He probably never would have thought that he would have been like in that role for so long. Just like.
There's no way he thought that.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably thought he got killed off in Avengers. He's like, well, I'm done with that role.
Yeah.
He's like, well, dang it.
Then Joss Whedon's like, hey, my brother's making this TV show.
And then they killed him off, like, spoiler alert, twice.
Two more times.
And the series.
He's like on the third iteration of the character.
Yeah. The Coulson character has died a lot. Oh yeah.
But comics, right?
But yeah, comics. You gotta love them. Speaking of comics, I would love to recommend reading the Umbrella Academy comics. I just finished the Netflix series season 2, and I've been wanting to get into the comics for a while, and thankfully the Netflix series is different enough where like obviously, you still get the major plot points are the same in the comics, but there's a lot that's really different, too, from, like, character designs and backgrounds and powers and everything, and just the way that they pace out the story differently. I'd say it's worth like reading, even if you watch the series first. And you can get buy two, get one free graphic novels at Books A Million right now. So that's how I got like all three volumes that are out of Umbrella Academy. And the third one was free. So definitely recommend doing that. The art is fantastic as well. I'm always a sucker for great art in a comic. And it's got like some fun little side stories that show the more superhero side of the family, which you don't see as much in the TV show. Other thing I would like to recommend is this comic for a comic book club that I have started, which is called Your Black Friend and Other Strangers. It is a very socially relevant and probably offensive comic to get through, but it's a very, very important, I think, starting point for a lot of conversations, and it's got really fun art in it. So you can read that, and then check out the comics with an X Crunch Club on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to keep up with that, you can join the group. It's private, but you can always request to join. And definitely recommend being part of that. And we are discussing it at the end of this month, so there's still time to read it if you want to be on board with that. But yeah, thank you guys so much once again for joining me for a crappy movie, and look forward to talking about the next one, which will be...
Should we tell them?
It'll be a Pokemon movie. Yeah! We're not going to say which one, but probably a lot of you will guess which one we do, but we're not entirely sure ourselves. We just know it's going to be Pokemon. Anyway, thank you guys so much. And go penguin sledding or something.
Go penguin sledding.
Go penguin sledding.
You know, you know.
If you know, you know. Yep, yep.
All right, bison.
Yep, yep.
Yep, yep, yep. Goodbye.
What a great sign off. I love it.
All right. Audio.